T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
A guy who covered the pandemic, who's way smarter than us,
yeah.
One of the best columnists in America, Mr. Mike Sielski, is out of line. Well, let's find out if it's over. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, Angelo. How are you?
Mike, is the pandemic over?
Oh, boy. No, but it is not as – I don't see how you can say it is as serious a threat to all of us as it once was.
Because of the vaccine, right, Mike?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So here's the thing we're trying to figure out. They couldn't play a baseball game last night. The New York Yankees could not field the team. They had 6 players missing. The Phillies, as far as we know, still have 4 guys out. Why is this happening, and how can it be fixed so we can get back to normal?
Well, I mean, a couple things. Look, the threshold for a Major League Baseball team or the U.S. Olympic basketball team in terms of managing this thing is going to be a whole lot higher than it is in the general public, because billions of dollars at stake and a gold medal in the Olympics at stake and international relations at stake is at stake. And not every country with respect to the Olympics has the same vaccination rates that the United States does. So I think that's playing into this a lot. I mean, I'll be honest, like I'm fully vaccinated. I don't go into anywhere that I don't have to wear, that doesn't tell me you have to wear a mask to come in. If I don't have to wear a mask, I'm not wearing a mask, because that's the whole point of getting the vaccine, was that I don't want to wear the mask anymore. I want to get back to normal life. I don't know what the reasons are for these athletes who haven't been vaccinated. You know, that's for them to deal with. The repercussions obviously, you know, trickle out to their teammates and their teams and their franchises. But that's where we are. And I think the nature of professional sports is such that it's mushrooming within that world.
All right. Are you interviewing people face-to-face yet, Mike?
I have interviewed people face-to-face, yes. I haven't been to a Phillies game all season. I haven't really written about the Phillies all season. Baseball bores me to tears anymore, and I'm not interested in writing about it.
Wow.
And I'm fortunate that I have the freedom in my job that I'm able to do that and work on other things. But I've talked to people for stories and columns who don't play for one of the 4 major teams, and have talked to them face to face. Yes.
All right. What I'm trying to understand is, right, like clearly some things have changed permanently, right? Do you think you will, once this thing is totally clear, do you think there'll be Zoom conferences now anyway? Because for some teams, it's easier. They'd rather do it that way.
I think there's going to be a number of teams in a number of different leagues that try to do that, because they perceive that keeping us out of the locker room, put aside the pandemic and the vaccine, whether you're vaccinated or not, they just don't want us to find out stuff. And so sidling up to an athlete in the locker room, while I think they should do that, because I think TV ratings have been down and what I do in the media drives a lot of interest in sports, I think a lot of teams will say, you know what, it's not worth it. The athletes don't want to have to talk to us in the locker room. Maybe they'll make some adjustments. You know, maybe at Eagles training camp, we'll be able to grab guys as they come off the field and not have an allotted 45 minutes to an hour in the locker room with them. But, yeah, I think some things are going to change permanently, because I think teams and leagues are going to try to seize this advantage and say, well, we don't want independent media around our players very much at all.
All right, Mike, you're back writing columns about the Eagles. I personally want to know the names of the players that didn't get vaccinated. I want to understand why they have chosen to to place their own interests above those of the team. You're in there. In the NFL, the protocols for people who are not vaccinated are so obvious, you would know the minute you went onto the scene. They're going to have masks on.
Yeah.
They have very specific things. Would you report that? Do you think that's pertinent, or are you revealing something that should be private for the player?
Man, I think it's a real thin line. I think it's a really thin line. And I'll be honest, just speaking personally, Angelo,
yep.
Now that I'm vaccinated, I don't care who else is vaccinated. I mean, I don't. Like, I'm not going to get it. The chances that I'm going to get it are so slim.
Right.
You know, that's why we all got the shot, right? It was the idea that you don't want to get this thing. Now, somebody may have their reasons. But asking somebody about a private medical decision, and I know the argument about, well, it affects everybody else. But, you know, that leads us to somebody walking into a supermarket without a mask on and another customer screaming at them in their face, why aren't you wearing a mask? Are you vaccinated? Why aren't you vaccinated? And that's an issue societally to me that gets into other matters and other problems.
But that worker, it does not have millions of people rooting for their team. If Jalen Hurts did not get the vaccine, I think that's big news. I want to know that.
Yeah, it may be.
And then
news,
I lose Jalen Hurts the night before a big game? Really?
Yeah, but it may be news, but what you're doing is you're setting up like a hierarchy where this person's job is more important because more people care about it. Like, what does that say to the person who works in the supermarket? Right?
Yeah,
like,
I'm just trying to be logical.
It's still a personal medical decision, you know, in the end, no matter how many people are rooting for his team.
The thing that bothers me, Mike, is that story that Matt Gelb had in the Athletic. That it's, you're right, whatever anybody's personal decision is, I'm vaccinated. If you don't want to, you know, I can't make you. But it seemed from that story that there's a faction of very powerful leaders in that clubhouse who are very vocal about it and maybe influencing young players. I have a big problem with that.
Rhea, I got a big problem with all of this both ways, right? I don't want people to be shamed for wearing a mask for whatever reason they're wearing their mask, whether they're vaccinated or not, or they have some kind of medical condition, whatever. And I don't want people shamed, you know, who aren't wearing a mask. Like, and you're right. What those Phillies players seem to be doing is wrong. Like, this is a very fraught situation. It's a very personal decision with public ramifications. This is not. I think we all wish it were easier, but it's not. And here we are. And you're right. I don't like the idea that within that clubhouse there's some kind of peer pressure going on amongst influential players saying, well, we didn't get vaccinated. Why are you getting vaccinated? Like, it's everybody's call at the most basic level. And then you work away from that to the public health ramifications and the ramifications for your family and friends and all of that stuff. And to be honest, Angelo, to your point, I'm sure Phillies fans are ticked off that a number of these guys haven't been vaccinated, but you know, we're talking about a baseball team here. We're not talking about, you know, we're not talking on the grand scheme of where that ranks in importance. I'm not sure how high that is.
Well, you just said you don't even like baseball, so you kind
of—that's my point exactly.
Yep. All right, Mike. I want to get to some of the other things you've covered in your recent columns because they're fascinating. What is? You're the only one that tackled this. I went on the air with this. In fact, until like 10 minutes before Winners and Weasels today, he was my weasel, Greg Popovich. Team USA.
Yep.
They lost both their games, Nigeria and Australia. And you said, what do you expect? You named Greg Popovich to coach. Why would they put that has-been blowhard in charge of our team, our basketball team? I don't understand it.
Well, in fairness to Pop, he was not a has-been when they picked him to be the Olympic coach. He was picked in, 2015, 2016, that it was announced he was going to be the successor to Mike Krzyzewski. The problem I have with it is, number one, I'm tired of his act in press conferences after the game. I'm tired,
It used to be amusing. It's not anymore.
Yeah, it's not anymore. You're doing it with Craig. You're having fun with Craig Sager. That's one thing. You default to screaming at reporters who ask legitimate questions. That's something else. But the other thing is that he is not regarded anymore by the players within the NBA as a top coach. Okay?
Yep.
The Spurs have had two losing seasons in the last 3 years. And when they were great, their top three players were Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, and Tony Parker, none of whom could have played for the Olympic team. So the match is not quite, you know, a fit here. And, you know, I think personally the way they pick the team, the way it's selected and everything, you've got to go with a college coach nowadays. It makes more sense because a college coach is more accustomed to taking a group of talent, assembling it quickly, and getting it together and having it play well. And to me, that leads to Jay Wright.
Yeah, he's there, right? He's
yeah.
an assistant.
Jay would have been a better choice, no doubt. Well, last thing, Mike, this is great, too, because all we've done the last month is talk about Ben Simmons. You wrote a column saying that the GM, Daryl Morey's biggest problem, that's not Simmons. It's Embiid. Explain.
Well, here's the thing. Over this course of the process, the Sixers really haven't failed to add any superstar players around Joel Embiid, right? We have figured out that Ben Simmons is not a superstar. He does some things very well. He does some other things terribly. Problem is that if you lose Embiid, and once again this season he was not in tip-top shape at the end of the playoff run, and he tore the meniscus in his knee, what else do you have? And if he does get hurt, where is this team left? You're going to have to rebuild completely. And the analogy I used was Yao Ming in Houston when Morey was there. Once Yao got injured, you know, broke his foot, that was it. They knew it was over. They had to start rebuilding, and it took them another 4 or 5 years before they had a team around James Harden that could compete for a championship again.
Wow. I love the concept that we really got. I guess this is what I really want to know. You think Embiid wants Ben back or doesn't want him back?
That's a great question. I'm sure, you know, he would like to have him back as a different player. The image I can't get out of my head is Simmons passing up that dunk and passing the ball to Thibault in Game 7 and Embiid throwing his hands in the air. That I can't get past that. That it just said to me, Joel Embiid is thinking to himself, what else are we supposed to do here? What else am I supposed to do? Everybody in the building saw it. You can throw all the analytics you want at what Ben Simmons does defensively, and I'll maintain that whoever guards him is automatically a better defensive player than he is if he's going to take himself out of the offense in the final 5 minutes of the game. But you just can't. That's too demoralizing to a team. You can't have that. So they've got a real problem this offseason. I don't know how, you know, Morey's really going to have to play this the right way to try to maximize value, you know, in getting a trade return for Simmons.
Mike Sielski is one of the best in the business. Michael, always a great honor and a pleasure. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Angelo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.